Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. And the game continues.
Oh, we got loud.
There we go.
There's got to be a way to supersede this crap.
Here's the laugh.
And that laugh is brought to you by Kevin Costner's ex, who just bagged, what was it, $170,000 a month in child support?
Wow.
Yeah. I hope that child is able to eat on that 170 grand a month. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Man, apparently you needed Biden's lawyer.
Yes. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fish sticks and macaroni and cheese going on in that home on that 170K a month, which is what, like 3 years worth of our pay, give or take. Anyhow, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. I am your host, Dave Atwell, down here in very balmy Jacksonville, North Carolina, where your balls stick to your leg and the ground bees chase down innocent homeowners for trying to clear some property and some foliage. True story, different show. I am recovering, though. Nevertheless, got a great show, got a great topic planned tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun with this one, so I'm not going to BS around. I'm going to kick it around to my esteemed panel of brothers coming to you tonight from the invading state, potential invading state there yet, of Indiana and the capital thereof, Indianapolis, and the outlying regions where the alpaca cooked meth with the NyQuil they bought at the drugstore and didn't get ID'd for. Tim, what's going on, man?
Wow. Alpaca's getting NyQuil. Hey, everything is, we're gearing up for some weather, which I just love. So, yeah, for the first time, I don't think I've ever been in the tower while I've been on the podcast call. So, as you know, I was building the access to this, and so it's there, so now I am about, it's not quite four stories high, but I can get to the tower just fine. You don't need to climb your death warrant trap of a ladder to get in here. It's all permanent. It's all pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to broadcasting from the tower, and I can't wait to watch it climb up here, to be honest with you. I don't know if it'll be in the scope of the time frame of the podcast. It might be a bit after that, but I'll keep you posted.
What you ought to do is just, like, haul a bunch of rocks and broken bricks and that kind of stuff up there. And then on Halloween, just kind of stand up there dressed up like an ogre and throw the shit down on the kids. Might even want to throw a couple tombstones on them if you got two or three tombstones laying around the house.
I might have some of those, yeah.
Not sure if you have that equipment handy or not, but just a
friggin' great.
I think I can find some in the garage.
I swear, man. You know, 100 years from now,
man, you gotta put up. I'm thinking to take Bell and go Quasimodo.
Fuck,
Halloween.
And just make sure the hunch switches sides on your back. That way you get a little young Frankenstein action going on there, you know. But, Tim, great to have you, man. Appreciate you joining us this evening. Hope you enjoy your new digs. It sounds pretty interesting stuff, man. I don't know if I'd get up in that damn thing when it's lightning or not, but nevertheless, sounds cool. So, I am going to kick it back to my area here with my good brother and anchorman, Todd. What is going down this evening?
Man, it's enjoying the change of locale, as I'll be able to do it for a while. In the right place at the right time. The you know, getting some quality family time in. We went and hit Tears for Fears show live Saturday night. It was great because the volume was not overwhelming. Of course, that could have been because my ears were damaged from the fourth. It was a good show, and they played my personal favorite, Sowing the Seeds of Love, and it was great. It was actually the daughter's first big concert, so she had an absolute blast. So, yeah, it's just nice to be back doing family stuff, even though all the family stuff, some of it, you know, being what it is a bit of a PETA. And I don't mean people for the ethical treatment of animals. I mean more like pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah, but at least you're back, and like I said, you know, sometimes it's funny when you don't have the family around, even the bad stuff seems to be good when you're by yourself. So good to hear you guys had a blast out there at that concert and everything. And, you know, the experience alone, man. There's that place in Myrtle Beach that has all the hair metal stuff in it there at Broadway. And you go in there and they play nothing but 80s hair metal. And Dale won't let me go in there anymore because every time I go in there, I'll just start talking to the poor, you know, 20-year-old clerk who has no idea who's singing. And I'll go, you know, I was up against the stage for this in Raleigh back in 1989. And she's like, I was born in 2004. I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, I'm going to tell the goddamn story anyway. So let me tell you about the group Cinderella. And so I understand. Going to those shows and everything. Excellent. Good to hear the whole crowd was able to get involved. And you guys made it there and back safely, man.
I tell you the thing, honestly, that surprised me, aside from, like I said, the volume was not devastating. And I guess maybe it's a type of band. I did not smell as much. I did not walk out of the concert. I think it's the first concert I've ever walked out of that I did not have a contact buzz. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I've walked out of some concerts for I don't even think my feet touched the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I've walked out of them. I'm like, we got to go to Burger King or get a big old Jethro Bodine bowl of frosted flakes or some trash.
I remember seeing Metallica in Fayetteville at the old Cumberland County Memorial Arena, and I never saw James Hetfield from the waist up. I saw his belt buckle and his legs. I saw Kurt Hammett from the chest down because he's a short gentleman. I saw the bottom of Lars Ulrich's drums, and I could see Jason Newsted every now and then, because he was doing, like, the head rocking thing, and he would dip under the cloud. But outside of that, there was a great throughout. Yeah, that entire concert was fantastic to listen to, but just abysmal to witness, because all you saw was a cloud. That's all it was.
Yeah, I'm guessing it wasn't the effects from the stage.
No, it wasn't a low-pressure system or anything like that. It was definitely a plant-induced haze, if you will. And Cheech Marin be proud. So, let's go ahead and kick it on off to tonight's topic. So, give you guys a quick background of where I came up with this topic. Let's see here. I just recently got back into gaming, right? And I haven't been gaming since...
Oh, that's funny, Dave.
And I kind of thought, you know, that ever since I wrote the books, that if I had any downtime, I should be writing and not gaming. So finally eased off. Rob put up an Xbox here in the living room so me and him could play against one another like we used to back in the day. And lo and behold, what's the first thing I start playing? Some old Minecraft. And damn if I didn't go down the rabbit hole. I've been playing Minecraft like I was a five-year-old, right? Been having the time of my life. So anyhow, I happen to be scrolling through stuff, and this meme comes up about Minecraft. And it says, you invade this pristine world, claiming it as your own simply by your presence. You slaughter innocent animals for their hides and their flesh. You devastate the landscape and gouge out the earth to build your monuments to vanity. And you all call me the monster. And it's a picture of a creeper, and I'm going, I feel awful about playing Minescape or Minecraft now. Because the first thing I started doing was chopping down trees and digging holes and killing cows and everything else. But nevertheless, the reason why I had come up with the idea is because in modern day, postmodern, pre-modern, whatever it is, cinema, TV, books, whatever, entertainment in general, heroes and villains, all right? When you look at them from one side, versus looking at them from the other side. So, good example, and I'll go ahead and kind of break the ice with this one. Go back to the old Luke Skywalker thing. All right. So if you watch it from this side of the fence, Luke Skywalker was the heroic young man who blew up the Death Star, and in the end, spoiler alert, save the galaxy from the evil empire, okay? But if you look at it the other way, he was a terrorist that pulled off almost the 9/11 thing on the Death Star, causing the deaths of thousands and or millions of hardworking Imperial personnel.
Makes me think of Family Guy.
So, it depends. Let's just say your dad was a stormtrooper. Let's just say your mom was a dental tech on the Death Star doing teeth cleaning for the TIE fighter pilots. And now she is no longer here because of that little punk bastard moisture farmer from Tatooine who, through nepotism, just happened to have the ability to go and blow up the place your mom worked at. How jacked up is that, man? So, that's what we're going to run off of tonight. And I've got a list of names and characters and all this kind of stuff. And we are going to dissect, roast, and just totally rip apart some of these characters. And I look forward to having a good time with it. So, I am going to throw the first proverbial topical piece of meat into the ring in no particular order. Let me just start off with...
use the one from the
okay.
chat.
I've got one totally off the blind right here to start us off. Cujo. Now, is Cujo a menacing dog with no discipline, or is Cujo simply a good boy protecting his grounds? Because if I recall, the young lady and her son were in a place they weren't supposed to be, correct? Were they not
trespassing?
I'm
trying to think. I only saw that once, and it was several years ago, so...
Well, I'll say decades. So, and I didn't read it.
Because when I watch Cujo, and it's probably been about a year or two since I last saw it, I want to go up to Cujo and go, who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Because you don't belong on my damn property, and my dog is simply doing his job. I'm sorry he ate a car in the process, but you shouldn't have hidden the damn thing. Quit trying to damn sell me Amway at my house. My dog's just doing his job. So anyhow.
That's a very good point.
Not to mention the fact that he was like a St. Bernard Mastiff kind of hybrid thing. And I know when Misty gets her hackles up in a knot and everything, she could be pretty Cujo-y herself, man. And it's pretty damn intimidating, but she's a good girl. Isn't that right? I see you. Cujo was a good boy. Misty, good girl. So, maybe that wasn't the best thing to start off with, but nevertheless, you guys are getting the rumble. You guys are getting the jive of what we're after, right?
Yeah, so, I'm tracking the look, man. The I almost want to play with the whole dog thing off of that. It's amazing how some of them are, let's just call them everybody's. If they were a girl in high school, they would be called popular. They're basically a slut with their affections. The Ollie, my grandchild, Yorkie, man, he loves everybody. He loves everybody. He is mommy's dog, first and foremost, but I'm not sure I'm not sure that the bar is that different from mommy to everybody else, because he'd rather snuggle with her on bed, but he'll snuggle with anybody on a bed, and he'll race them to the bed. It's hilarious. I mean, but then again, we've known dogs, and it's kind of the same way with cats or, you know, different pets. They're either one person or they're pretty much everybody's. And those ones that are really loyal, it's hard, you know, it's hard for other people on the outside to see what a mean dog, why the person likes that dog. But that loyalty, that bond is ridiculous, especially when it's closer to a one person or a household type relationship.
Yeah, and dogs just have a different, I know every cat and gerbil owner is out there right now throwing their, you know, wagging their finger at me right now, but dogs are just on a different level. All right.
Yeah, they're as different from the damn cats. There's arguments. I'm just saying. There's pros and cons across the board. All right.
Now.
I say throw out the one you threw in the chat, dude.
Right on. Before I do that, though, we do have back with us, hailing from the state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster, how are you doing?
Well, I'm good, guys. I tried to call in earlier before the show started, and it was giving me some weird message that the show wasn't for, like, 35 minutes or something like that. And I don't know.
That was a misclick on my part. Todd pointed it out about 4 minutes before the show, about 8:26. 27, yeah. So I was able to get in there, get it fixed, and we all lived happily ever after. So,
well, I tried to call in at the right time, you know, but I was like, I thought, okay, did they change the time on me? I hadn't been on it so long that, you know. So I'm good. You know. So sorry, I'm a little late, guys. I, you know, had a, you know, I heard Todd talking about dogs, and you know, I can relate to that story about dogs being like one person, you know. I mean, because my son's dog, I mean, he absolutely, like, when I go visit my son, always right there. And, you know, of course, David and Anthony say that I have brainwashed the dog, which I haven't, but, you know, that's my grand dog, and he's always wanting to be by me. And I tell you, it's funny because he'll be sitting next to me in the recliner love seat thing, and Anthony will go to pick him up sometimes, and sometimes he'll growl at him like, okay, you just leave me with my grandma, you know. I'm sitting here with my grandma, you know, don't bother me.
Yeah, he's comfortable. That's one of the best dogs.
Yeah, he is. He is.
I'm assuming
you
speak its language.
Well, yeah. I must because I tell you, when it was funny when Anthony had cataract surgery when he was still living in Springdale, like last year, last January, I think it was, or whatever, I stayed like about I stayed with him almost a month, you know, to help him with the eye drops and everything because his hands were so shaky he couldn't get the eye drops in. So I just, stayed there to help him, with things. And I would sleep on the couch. And, he came in one night to get Mysterio to take him in the bedroom with him. And Mysterio was laying next to me on the couch sleeping. And, man, he picked him up and – I mean, that little dog for a 14-pound dog, like, he just growled at him, like, leave me alone. I am with my grandma. Don't touch me. So,
yeah, dude.
I mean, of course,
don't mess with my
food. Mysterio, he's got that Chihuahua, mix in him. So, he will be 12 years old in October. So he has a right to... He has a right to get grumbly. He's getting to be a little old man, So he's getting a right to be grumbly when he wants to be.
So. Yeah, it's good to hear that he takes care of his grandma, though. It's good to have to have a Cujo on your side, be it 14 pounds.
Yeah,
worth,
but.
You know?
But Anthony is, just so you guys know, Anthony is doing well. I mean, he's happy in his new place. Of course, he loved the gift that Tim sent him, and everything. He just absolutely thought that was absolutely amazing. And he's really happy. I mean, I really think that was the best move for him, so he's doing good. I mean, he's happier than I've seen him in a very long time, so.
Good on him. Good to hear he's doing well. That is for sure, because, nothing but the best for that young man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I had this morning, I had a procedure done. Everything's good, no problems. I had a couple polyps removed, but I tell you guys, the new way, they actually have a different way now of prepping for, colonoscopies, which this was a pill prep form that I did this time, and it actually was so much better. So... They actually came out with a pill prep instead of drinking that icky tasting stuff, but everything's good. So they were both benign, so everything's good, and so everything went well. So, but.
Yeah, just as long as everything is clear, that's what we want to hear when it comes down to the to the doc.
But it was a lot better. It was a lot better because last night, I did the first bottle of the 12 pills, and then I drank the amount of water that I'm supposed to drink. And then this morning I did the other 12 pills, and it was so much better pills. I mean, I could swallow the pills. I didn't have to drink that icky tasting stuff. So she says, do you want to do the pill prep or the regular way? And I said, oh, there's a pill prep now? I said, I'll do that, So I'm all good with that, So give me the pill prep, So it worked out really well, so.
Good deal. Well, it's good to have you aboard. And this evening.
One more thing really quick, guys. I haven't been on here for, a few weeks because I know there was a few weeks we didn't have the show and everything. But Granny Hulkster had the opportunity to get to pick up a couple of professional wrestlers at our local airport here back on the 30th of June and take them to a wrestling show in July, which was absolutely amazing. I got to pick up Bobby Fulton and Ron Simmons, and that was so cool getting to do that. And they were so appreciative of everything I did. They spoke very highly about me to the promoter, and I was very humbled and very privileged and honored to have gotten to do that. So that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Did you get Ron to do a stamp?
Oh, he did. He did a couple times at the show that night. He did, yeah.
Oh, very good.
So,
got to have that.
It was pretty awesome. I picked up Bobby first because he got in at 9:15 that morning. And he says, well, we can wait for Ron to get in. I said, Bobby, there's no sense of you sitting here at this airport for 3 hours when I know I can get you in to the hotel, which was close to the airport, get you in early so you can rest. And then I went back and got Ron. And Ron says, well, Granny, if it's not too much trouble, could you take me to like a small drugstore and someplace to get something to eat so I can have for lunch and supper night so I don't have to get back out? And I said, absolutely. So I took him, you know, to a Walgreens, and I took him to this Workman's truck stop place that we have in Lowell, Arkansas, that has a deli thing and has a restaurant. He got some chicken tenders and potato wedges, and then I took him back to the hotel, and then I picked him up Saturday afternoon and took him to Mulberry for the show, and then took him back to the hotel that night, and they flew out Sunday morning to go back to fly back into Atlanta. But it was really, really awesome to have them both at our show that at Down South Championship Wrestling on July 1st. So
cool. Well, it's good to hear all of them are doing safe, you know, being safe and getting back and forth well and all that kind of stuff, because that travel is always always a trip. But yeah, it's great to have you back. Now, tonight, what we're doing, if you didn't catch the beginning of it, we are ripping apart our favorite heroes and villains and looking at it from both sides of the coin. So I'm about to announce the next one, which me and Todd were on the same wavelength on this one. So bear with us, Granny Holster, and just kind of chime in.
Oh, you're fine.
So the next one. And it's funny. Let's see. I'm trying to see in the dark here. Okay. 007, James Bond. Is he a stud or just a womanizer?
or a serial
killer.
The, my approach to him always was the classic, what alignment would he be in Dungeons and Dragons? Because,
wow.
You know, he's lawfully employed doing the job of a government, but his actions tend to fall under anything other than lawful.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, for all the explosions and environmental hazards that he contributes to, and we all know about, you know, shooting in crowded places, what all that can do, and then again, you know, going back, the amount of women that he has bedded over the years, does that make him a narcissist, some type of
philanderer?
Philander, correct. No respect for, but of course we're not gender specific anymore, so I guess we can't call him a womanizer. We will call him a personizer. How's that?
A penetrator?
So, it's pansexual. So tonight it was an iron skillet. Tomorrow will be a rice cooker. The day after that will be a three-quart saucepan. James Bond, though, man, plenty of explosions, plenty of ruined vehicles, A lot of dead henchmen, who, of course, I'm
property
sure have family jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, property destruction, correct. There's a lot there to unpack. And, as Todd alluded to, all the while in the employee of the monarchy. He works directly for the queen, or now the king, of course. So, yes, James Bond.
Yeah, but look how many look how many actors over the years have portrayed the role of James Bond. I mean,
yeah,
you have Sean Connery,
you have
Roger Moore, you have Pierce Brosnan. I mean, you know. Let's see, who else am I leaving out, guys? I mean, I know there's
at least two.
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Actually,
and Roger Moore.
Actually, lest we forget David Niven.
Yep, David Niven.
Who
was the original? Ian something or other?
No, that was, Ian Fleming wrote the stuff. David Niven, I think, played it before the series started, if you will. An old boy that sat there and did it, he was the only Bond to get married.
Yeah, the one before Connery.
After. David
Niven
was before. Then there was Connery. Then there was the other dude. That, Telly Savalas was the bad guy. First Blofeld, I think. And then Sean Connery came back.
When did Roger Moore fall into that category of James Bond?
Wasn't he after Sean Connery?
He was after Sean Connery, wasn't he? Well, he was on two sides of Sean Connery, maybe? I got to remember, because Sean Connery did Never Say Never Again well into the Moore thing, but Moore did, when he was in Louisiana. He was in Louisiana and all that. It was almost a black exploitation flick.
There's so damn many of them, I can't keep up.
Oh, man. I think it had the Live and Let Die. Live and Let Die.
Yeah, because that was,
it was
the early 70s.
He did the same. Yeah, early mid-70s, yep.
Old James Bond, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, the guy now, not Tim Roth. God, what's the guy's name now? Looks like Jeremy Renner.
Kind of, sort of.
Daniel Craig.
Good call.
He's done. He actually died.
Okay, there were seven actors. Since the first James Bond film in 1962, there's been seven actors who have taken on the role of 007. Sean Connery, David Niven, George Lazenby, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, and Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Yep.
George Lazenby was the only one that I couldn't remember.
But he was the guy that I was thinking of that was before Connery.
No,
he was in black
he
and white.
Did the second. I think like David Niven was kind of like out of the box thing. Maybe he wasn't think of it this way. Maybe he wasn't part of the Broccoli Productions.
Ah.
But it was a Bond story, and those names are accurate. Yep.
All right. So we're going to kick another name out there. Let's see. All right. Here's an interesting one. So you just got finished paying off your car. You've been paying on this car for 8 years and diligently changing the oil and belts and keeping the tires rotated on it. And then the next thing you know, Lex Luthor shows up in town with some type of weather harnessing device. And a big fight starts out there in the parking lot of your workplace. And this guy from some alien planet that got blown up by its sun comes in with his red and blue tighties and his nice red cape and chiseled good looks. And his name is Superman, like he's that good. And he picks up the car you just got the title to 2 days before in the mail and throws it at Lex Luthor and misses, thereby sending your car careening across the parking lot and reducing it to a crushed beer can. So is Superman a hero? Or is he the guy who just tore your damn ride up?
He's both. Well, you know, that was really looked at. What the hell was the cartoon? The Incredibles?
I haven't seen any of those yet, but that might be.
No, come on. That was, God, that's old. It was one of those big animated features, and was it the strong guy got with the Elastic Girl, and they got busy. They talked about how they had to get the supers to stop doing their stuff.
Ah, because they were tearing stuff up.
Yes.
Yeah, they passed a law, right? And so they weren't allowed to use their superpowers. And so he, like, went to sell an insurance or something, right?
Something. He was like, he had an office job. Wait, you seriously haven't seen The Incredibles?
No, I sure haven't. I have not. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen Cars.
You're not missing anything with Cars, but I think The Incredibles was good.
Yeah, I hadn't seen any of it. I guess I need to make a point of seeing it because I've heard nothing but good about both of them. It's just a matter of sitting down.
I don't care about Cars. The Incredibles was good. That's something that if I was doing a channel surfing thing, I'd watch it.
But, you know, Marvel kind of did a thing, too, in the comic books, kind of touched on in the cinematic universe, was they called it Civil War there. But there was actually a thing that went down to where Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You know, the government passed an act that said if you're a superhero, you have to register and you have to make your you have to make your identity public and all these things. And Captain America went on to one side of saying, no, I'm not giving my identity away. And no, I'm not going to be under the thumb of the government. And that Tony Stark went the other direction with some superheroes saying that, hey, government's got a point. We need to keep our asses in check. And
I can't remember which way the teams went, but yeah, sure enough.
It was a pretty interesting dynamic because sometimes you can get lost when you're watching these films. You can get lost in the flow of it. And a good example is that first Avengers flick. That first Avengers flick where the damn those worms were coming out of that black hole thing in the sky. And I mean, Hulk was sitting there, you know, throwing them through buildings, and I'm like, well, damn, the Hulk got to kill somebody. There ain't no way Hulk doing all that damage without killing some damn buddy by accident. Ain't no way in hell. Somebody had to have fallen down a flight of steps or had a coronary or something else. So, yes, are they there to save the planet? Yes, they are. But did they cause a lot of destruction in doing so? Yes, they did.
You know what was the least real part of that scene?
What was that
whole battle in New York? There was not the general populace out there looting all the stores while it was going on.
Oh, yeah. Because you know there'd be some looting.
Oh, Darren, frickin' tea it. Just as much as they omitted the civilian casualties? Yeah.
Well, you know, it goes back to that.
There would have been frickin' looting going on.
That scene from Independence Day when the aliens are coming and everybody's like, okay, everybody get inside. But then you've got them assholes on the rooftop throwing a party going, hey, we're your friends. And the ship comes down and just totally obliterates the building with all of them on it.
I work with somebody that'll be up in that building if that happens.
Dr. John, be
able to you could get sued just for saying that.
So be it.
The damn rubbernecking to a damn alien invasion, the rubbernecking to a superhero battle in the damn city streets. I mean, Todd will tell you, you're over there at the club trying to drop a pallet of water, and the amount of people that will stand within 20 feet of you when you're dropping a 7,000-pound pallet of water and will sit there with three or four kids in the cart going, watch, guys. No, get the hell away from me because you trust my abilities way much more than I trust myself. So, you know, when Superman's in there duking it out or Batman's trying to get the Joker chased down or what have you, there's going to be at least one group of assholes that's standing there on the sidewalk with their phones out trying to film everything. And then, of course, when they end up getting sniped in the whole thing, catching a stray bullet or maybe a piece of shrapnel, first thing the family wants to do is sue the estate of Bruce Wayne. Because he slammed the Joker into a damn vehicle and the subsequent explosion put some shrapnel through my drunk Uncle Ray's neck, and that's the reason why he's no longer with us. So I want to sue Bruce Wayne for $7 or $8 billion, the net value of my drunk Uncle Ray. And that's exactly how it would go. That's why these superheroes would have
all the civil suits would be insane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to have wet floor signs out all over the damn. You know, at work, we actually just put wet floor signs out on the floor, whether there's something wet or not, just to have them the hell out there and to make a presence instead of people watching where the hell they're walking. We just have them do it. Yeah, just in case. So anyhow, Superman, Marvel superheroes, all those guys, same ilk, causing mass destruction in the name of saving the planet. So.
Well, all but the TV series, well, the 60s TV series, Batman. Because there were some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. Of course, that was from the movie part.
But he didn't blow the pier up, though, if I recall. He got rid of it, didn't he?
He did.
That's right. It's because of the shark repellent spray that he was carrying. Speaking of sharks, how about this one here?
Mm-hmm.
Jaws. So that wasn't officially his name. Okay. Is that a man-eating, aquatic menace, hell-bent on eating Richard Dreyfuss? Or is it just an animal being an animal and we are in its home invading its space instead of being on dry land where our two-legged, two-armed asses belong?
Oh, yeah. With lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Oh my.
Correct.
But, that's their territory. Go, Tim.
Well, I was going to change it up. before answering that one. So, because I've been thinking on this one, I actually lost it for a second. I grabbed it back. What about cartoons? Are they in scope here? Because I'm thinking Jerry Mouse. I don't know if you call him a hero or not, you know, but he seems to be the protagonist, if you will.
He
seems to be the protagonist. And he's a little pain in the ass. He is the entity.
He is.
You know? It's like you're supposed to feel sorry for him. But that little asshole is an instigator, man. He's deserved a beating. Oh, that dude always
pissed
me off.
I mean, think of the chaos he caused when Tom was trying to romance that she-cat.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. When he was singing the immortal, "Is you is or is you ain't my baby."
My baby.
The way you acting lately, get me down. You're still my baby, baby.
We talked about that song before on this year, by the way.
well, for sure we talked about Ham Bone.
Oh, God, yeah. Hey, the nephew, you know I can't play a guitar without guitar strings.
And he reaches the TV.
Right. Trouble. Yes. Uncle
Tom, that cat. Yeah, that poor cat. I mean, the cats lose their whiskers as it is, but if you realize the function of their whiskers, it's like, oh, that's really fouled up.
But it's really funny if you look at the Tom and Jerry cartoon, because, you know, those are old. So I'm assuming it's because they didn't always change the rest of the background picture. But you could always see one whisker that stood out. It was kind of slightly colored different or something. And you knew sure as shit that's the one that was about to go missing that he was about to yank out.
And there's baddies hiding from him. And all you can hear is, here, kitty, kitty. And he put him in the bread box, and when he slammed the bread box on him, everything he was doing was echoing. It sounded like he was in, like, talking through a metal tube or something. It was great. Had his cowboy hat and his mustache was fluttering every time he sang, you know. But you guys,
oh, my God. That and oh, good Lord. All those old cartoons. In fact, I was surfing today online and saw a damn, Beaky Buzzard. Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, no, 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 no. I'm bringing home a baby bumblebee. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
oh,
you know, Jerry goes along the same thing as Speedy Gonzalez. Speedy Gonzalez is always trying to pilfer some cheese. And Sylvester is simply doing his job in protecting the company assets, which is said cheese. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, his cousin Slowpoke Rodriguez, that mofo was always stoned.
I may be slow in the legs, but I am fast in the cabeza.
He's walking by Sylvester with the
cucaracha.
Oh, Christ. God, that's great. They don't show enough
of
that.
Yeah, Sylvester
anymore.
Ever ate him? Sylvester would have to eat like 50 more mice, just saying. Because he would have got the munchies from eating him. It was like eating one of those damn brownies.
Well, do you all remember the Sylvester cartoon where Sylvester and his son and Poppy, the baby kangaroo, escapes from the zoo or gets out of the, you know, falls off the train or whatever, and they thought he thought it was a giant mouse, and Sylvester's little boy says, "Oh, the shame of it! What are the guys going to say?" And pack 512, he puts a paper sack over his head because he thinks his dad's gone crazy, you know, because he thinks that Hoppy's a giant mouse instead of a kangaroo. You know?
Yeah, it wasn't why he did it, but yeah.
My father.
Yeah.
Beaten by a mouse.
Oh, you're a really hep cat, Dad. And Sylvester. Yeah.
Oh, God. That's fun. That's, you know, but those right there are classic examples. And for a year, even when I was a kid, I remember going up to my folks and going, you know what, why do they call Jerry the good guy? He's forever antagonizing the shit out of Tom.
Instigator, big time.
Well, now, yeah. Okay, there was one Tom and Jerry cartoon show where Tom had to get the contract signed by Jerry or he was going to be sent, you know, to hell instead of heaven, you know, and everything. And the, you know, the clock's ticking and everything, and the bulldog, you know, he's the devil, and he says, send him down, you know, and Tom's begging, you know, Jerry to sign the contract, you know, to forgive him, you know, and everything. There was that one episode that, you know, Jerry wasn't really the instigator. Tom was trying to get his forgiveness, you know, so he wouldn't be sent to hell, you know.
And Jerry was anything but cooperative and was anything but doing anything to prevent it. So, yeah, he was strictly the instigator.
And he ended up signing the contract, you know, and it was like a dream or something,
Yeah.
But,
he was by the fireplace, and then Ember bounced out and got the cap.
Now, another good example is if you've ever spent an afternoon on a farm, you will realize that whoever wrote the storyboards for these cartoons had to have spent some time on a farm, okay? Because I am here to tell you, a damn rooster will walk 3 football fields to go screw with a sleeping dog. And how many times have we seen Foghorn Leghorn walk all the way across the barnyard and pick up a 2x6? And smack that dog in the ass a couple times with it.
The clown face on the end of the stick is one of my favorites.
when they got the little chicken hawk out there, and he's like, I'm a chicken hawk, and I'm going to get a chicken. And he goes, well, I tell you what, I'm not a rooster, but that thing over there, that's definitely a rooster right there. I know he looks like a dog, but he wears that outfit to keep all the lovesick hens off him.
Right.
How can you not find humor in that? That is absolute freaking genius. I don't care what nobody says. That shit is funny. And I would give any amount of money to be a damn cockroach on the wall when they were writing the damn scripts for those cartoons. Because, I mean, they couldn't have done it with a straight face. There's no way in hell.
No, you see, there used to be, and I'm guessing there's been some proprietary stuff that's made them harder to find, but you used to be able to find, like, little film clips of stuff where they were mucking about in the studio and stuff. And some of that was just insane. A variation of that, I think they kind of channeled themselves into it, was when Bugs was drawing Daffy as the cartoon character. And he kept mucking about with his body and the situation around him.
And putting, like, flowers on him and everything, turning him into, like, a tulip.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Two legs and everything, yeah. Yeah, I know there probably had to have been an absolute brawl over who got to sing the Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby song on Tom and Jerry. If they didn't let me sing that song for that damn cartoon, I would have been devastated. That would have been a career ender for me. There's no way in hell. I just, but the lines they came up with, and sometimes it's just a little one-liners, you know, like when Yosemite Sam was the pirate, and he was on the ship, and Bugs opens up the damn hatch and goes, "Yoo-hoo, Mr. Pirate." I'm sorry. That's some funny shit. And there's nothing to it, but I will laugh my collective ass off all night long watching that kind of stuff. I watched Tom and Jerry for about 2 hours the other day. They had a marathon on Boomerang, and I was just trying to get some background noise while I was cleaning house, and they had like 4 hours straight of Tom and Jerry. I said, "Oh, shit, yeah, son." I turned it on, and I was getting nothing done because I was laughing too damn hard. Good stuff.
One of my favorite Tom and Jerry cartoons was when the little gray mouse was with Jerry and they were like dressed like the Musketeers, and the little gray mouse says, "Pussycat, pussycat, oh poor pussycat," you know, he goes, "To see Mr. Pussycat," and he stabs him with the sword, and then, you know, Tom
stab
at
right
the end of the cartoon.
Too.
At the end of the cartoon, you know, he gets his head cut off, you know, by the guillotine, and, you know, and the little gray mouse says, "Oh, poor pussycat." And then they go, him and Jerry go wandering off into the night, you know, they're playing the music at the end of the cartoon. I always liked that little gray mouse wearing the diaper. He was always so funny.
Yeah, the little baby one.
Yeah.
So,
What about the baby rat or the younger rabbit in the Pete Puma episode?
Oh, yeah.
How many bumps do you want? Oh, 3 or 4.
And then you got the cartoon with Sam and Ralph, the sheepdog and the coyote, you know, and the sheepdog's, you know, and the coyote, he's trying to always get the sheep and everything, and then the whistle blows, and then they have lunch together, and then the whistle blows after lunch, and then they go back to, like, where the sheepdog's getting ready to pound on the coyote's head. But yet, you know, "See you tomorrow, Sam. See you tomorrow, Ralph."
Yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, they go their separate ways, and
yeah. Well, it's like Michigan J. Frog. You know, instantly you think that guy's going to exploit the singing frog. Well, we kind of turn around and find out that the frog actually ruined the guy's life. And all he had to do was get out of the box and hit the old, "Everybody do the Michigan rag," but he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
"I'm just wild about Harry, and he's just wild about me."
I remember that one.
Ah, that is good stuff. God, I love those cartoons. So, cartoon speaking, let's get on some Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. Now, are these two assholes a bunch of pot-smoking stooges that are benefactors of working with three other very highly intelligent damn sleuths? Are they actually a contributing factor to the, what is that, sex in a van group on Scooby-Doo? I always thought Shaggy useless as shit. And Scooby doesn't hit on much either. And how do they always let those two go off alone? I mean, there's a management flaw there. Sooner or later, Fred or Dan.
That was deliberate because they would get in trouble and they were bait every time. That was a deliberate decision.
So they were the guys that they were kind of throwing out there to get hurt. You know, those were the expendable guys, the bait, so to speak.
Yeah, they were cannon fodder.
Ah, very good. Good point. Good. This is why we have these conversations, folks, on Pop Culture Stars, because we can actually dig deep and bring out the true meaning of what a lot of these things are. And by God, that is very, very astute there, Todd. I'm telling you what, cannon fodder. You damn right. They put them out there so that way if it really was a ghost, it wasn't the important people that were getting tore up. Brilliant.
Exactly.
God damn brilliant.
I always liked whenever – I know they didn't have Scooby-Dum in there very many episodes, but I always liked Scooby-Dum. Bum, 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 bum. Clue? Clue?
Was that the gray one?
Yeah, he was the gray. He was the gray one.
With the red hat.
Wore the hat. With the hat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yep. I just remember.
There was an episode where they had the female dog. Her name was Scooby Dee, and she was acting in this movie. And the villain, they kidnapped the real Scooby Dee and put the mean one in, the one that looked like Scooby Dee, and they were doing the movies and stuff, and they had kidnapped the real Scooby Dee, and they were Scooby Dum and Scooby Doo were trying to, and the gang were trying to find the real Scooby Dee, and but he'd always bum 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 bum. I always liked him. He'd be funny.
I'm gonna keep on the cartoon thing because I got a couple more cartoon guys on here that fit in. All right, so here's one of recent memory. Excuse me. SpongeBob SquarePants. Is he actually a hard worker or just a damn ass kisser at the workplace?
I never watched much SpongeBob, so I can't honestly answer that one. I didn't never watch SpongeBob.
I live and die by SpongeBob. I tell you, there's not a day go by where I don't quote a SpongeBob episode because it hits so close to home on a lot of topics, and there's so much you can take from that cartoon and apply to real life. Yeah, because, like Squidward, every time you go there, Squidward never gets Employee of the Month, but every time you see Squidward at the workplace, he's working. Now, does he go 120%? No, because the pay isn't 120%. The benefits is 120%. He goes in there, he gives 100%, clocks out when he's due to go to get off, and he goes home and tries to enjoy a peaceful evening, a little clarinet playing, maybe soaking in the tub, but you always got SpongeBob and Patrick dorking it all up for him. So Squidward's another one on my list. Is Squidward actually a bad guy, or is Squidward one of us? Just trying to get through the damn day. I lament for Squidward a lot. He won me over with the line about SpongeBob. You remember that little talk we had about personal space? SpongeBob's standing right on him, man. I don't know how many times I've been in places. You know when you're in line and you're getting rang up and you're getting ready to punch your little PIN number into your ATM card at the card reader, and you got the guy who's standing right there next to you, and you're like, what do you need, buddy? Oh, nothing, I'm just next in line. Then you need to be over there, not right here. We're not together. Personal space. Goddamn Squidward is a visionary. I don't care what nobody says. So, Tim, you got some youngins that are probably the youngest out of the rest of us. I know you've got some SpongeBob in you, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I was going to point out, it didn't answer your question, so I just shut up. But I was going to point out the movie, and at this point, I don't know if they've made more than one, but the movie, God damn it, I can't think of the title. It's the one where David Hasselhoff comes in at the end. But I love the part that's toward the beginning of the movie where Patrick comes in and he's supposed to be like a surprise celebrating like a promotion or something. And he comes flying down. He's, like parasailing, if you will. And he's got a big old flag in his butt crack. And it's like the absolute funniest damn scene in the movie.
Yeah, that first SpongeBob movie was pretty gold, man. Yeah, that was a good flick. That was good. That was about the last good SpongeBob hurrah. After you get past the fifth season, it just goes straight to hell. But Those first four or five seasons are just absolute gold when it comes down to comedic value and saving the one-liners from it, you know? All right, so Todd, I've got to refresh my beverage, so I'm going to sit one right here at your doorstep and let you go with it.
Oh, Lord.
I think this one might be in your wheelhouse, young man. So, how's about a little Lord of the Rings? Gandalf. Okay, now, was Gandalf just doing what he should have done, or is he a guy letting a bunch of damn hobbits do all the heavy lifting? Could he have just gotten that ring and done his damn self? I mean, the guy could fly. He's got all the damn facilities to get that ring and take it to Mordor's goddamn self. But instead, he has these four ass bags from the Shire do it, and they screw up everything they touch all the way there and ultimately need what? Need to be saved by Gandalf. So why didn't he just handle
the shit? Well, depends on how you look at it. Oh, no, I can sit here and play with this one. The He knew he was weak and he would be corrupted and fall down and use the ring. And he knew if he used the ring, he'd never want to give it up, throw it in. That's good to go. I'll buy that 110%. But, Gandalf knew when he got his ass beat by the Balrog, he told them to do it the easy way. He said, fly, you fools, fly. He already told them, get in contact with the Angles. And Bilbo had told the story to the next generation already about the Eagles. So they already knew about the Eagles and their ability to help. Gandalf was telling him, fly to Mordor and drop the ring in the volcano. Just do it and be done. But no, they didn't want to do it like that. No, he knew he was weak, but he gave them the easy answer. And I'll give him credit. He tried some skulking his way through to get the mission done first. And he was staying there where he could keep an eye on those that he deemed were innocent enough not to be overcome by the evil. They didn't have power to begin with, so they weren't likely to, in the sense of they hadn't tasted power, so they didn't want more for their corruption purposes.
Okay. That's a good point.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because, you know, we could have evaded the ringwraiths chasing us, the spider getting us, the ghost guy trying to diddle us from the afterlife. All of that kind of cool stuff could have been avoided. The drowning at the end. There's a lot of things. Gollum, his whole part could have just been, he'd have been shot of luck. He'd have been eating raw fish in the caves for the rest of his life, had damn Gandalf just handled the job. But no, he's got to be a delegator and shit and hand it out to,
Again, there's a reason he gave it to them. He had tasted power. And he wanted more. He didn't want to corrupt himself. He knew he'd want more.
I mean, if it wasn't for him, Sean Bean would still be with us. For crying out loud.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know. Hey, do you guys know, a little side note on that, you remember the Sid and Croft cartoon from the 70s?
The animated stuff, or not the animated, the costume stuff.
This is the animated stuff where they actually drew it over a live-action film cell, right? So they actually acted it out, but then took the film cells and animated over top of it, right? If you watch,
right.
there is a part in that film where Boromir trips over his own damn sword, and they left it in the film because in real life, the guy who played Boromir actually busted his ass walking and tripped over his sword. So the animators just said, ah, shit on it. We'll go ahead and leave it on in there. Look it up. It's funnier than hell.
Huh.
That was some creepy shit back in the day, though. Those Sid and Croft, we need to do a show on those, too, man. Those old Sid and Croft.
Well, yeah, they had the whole shit with Witchy Poo.
Hey, Charles,
Yep, Watership Down, that was creepy as shit.
Oh, Watership Down, good grief. Whew. Well, that book
was
kind of dark.
Yeah, that one keep you up at night if you was a kid. And it was a political satire. Excellent book. But, man, that cartoon was dark as shit. So, see, Todd, that's why you're in my Anchorman, dude, because you were able to shed some light. Because as many times as I've seen The Hobbit and read The Hobbit and watched The Hobbit and everything else with The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship, blah, 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 I've always stood back and said, you know what? Gandalf ultimately is the guy who just kind of, like, handled every damn thing. Why didn't he just, like, do it in the first goddamn place?
He knew.
So, way to bring that up for me. Well done.
Now, speaking of, since you brought up some of that other stuff, you realize that the Hobbit cartoon, when it came out, was the same people that did the same cat that did Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, they did a lot of that Christmas stuff. They did that
Franken
one.
Franken or whatever. I think Franken was the family name. And, did the Hobbit cartoon back in the day.
Rankin Bass is what it was. Because they did, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas with the Little Mice. They did Frosty. They did a couple of the animated stuff. And then they also did
They were behind the Hobbit cartoon. Now, of course, the original Lord of the Rings cartoon, which is only part of the story, that was another one where you're talking about going over the film cells. Is that the one you're saying with Sid and Marty Croft behind that one?
Yeah, I'll have to find a link and send it to you because it's pretty interesting stuff watching the way they animated that
one. Yeah, because that was heavily with the live actors and working over the film cells with that. I remember that for sure.
So here we are. We've got 10 minutes left.
I actually think
so
we went to see that in theater. Okay,
oh,
go.
Oh, really? We got about 10 minutes left to play. So what I'm going to do is we'll have to do a show like this again because this has been fun. Because we've been just roasting the hell out of these characters and been having a blast doing it. So homework assignment, I'll throw a couple names out on my list. I've got 2 pages worth of names, okay? So these are ones we can approach later on, shows at a later date. So give you guys a little time to think about it. Indiana Jones, archaeologist or grave robber? Walter White, a dying dad trying to take care of his family or a criminal? Dirty Harry, lawman or rogue cop? Rocky Balboa, true champ or just a lucky break? Vito Corleone, criminal or man of the people? Let's see here. What's some other ones? Forrest Gump, is he an idiot or just insanely naive?
Robin Hood.
So there's a couple
of his credit.
Oh, and lastly, I'll throw this one out there. The Breakfast Club. Are they a bunch of damn punks? Or were they just confused teens that hadn't had enough mud on the tires yet? Because every time I watch the Breakfast Club, I want to beat the shit out of every one of them.
I don't know what my favorite moment from that movie is, like losing the punchline when old boy's crawling through the frickin' ductwork.
And the parents, oh, shit.
No, they pissed me off because I tried looking for the punchline and the joke doesn't exist. They purposely made that up and did not include a punchline, and they just kind of left it hanging because I looked for it. I'm like, what the fuck is the punchline? And you can't find it.
The old girl doing her hair and letting the dandruff fall for the snowflakes.
Yes. Yes. She needs to bathe. I don't feel bad for her. She needs to bathe. She's a lot of those 80s
great.
Flicks. A lot of those 80s flicks had that same problem. And I know we've discussed it on here before. But the Karate Kid, Daniel LaRusso, what a little shit-ass. He goes in, new kid, doesn't try to make any friends, goes in acting like king shit of Dookie Mountain, and you know what? Johnny of Cobra Kai put it on his ass. We had to boo him? No. Congratulations, young man. He deserves a scholarship. Now, I'll tell you, the coach might have been a little extreme, John Cleese, but Danny LaRusso was no hero. He was no role model. He was a punk. He was a damn turd, and he deserved every black eye he got. God damn it. Don't get me on my soapbox. I will die on that hill every damn time. I can't stand that damn movie. My God. Anyhow, there's our homework assignment. We will readdress this in later shows. Because we have a lot of good times doing this when we talk about, I mean, hell, we've done past shows about music, and we've done one a while back about if we can go back and get famous people from heaven, who would they be? This is another one right here. It was great because it really does. There's a lot of things out there that, you know, we take as a heroic stance, but they're really not. If you're looking from the other side of things, or if you're looking at the more realistic, you know, are there absolutes out there?
Let me throw something out in alignment with that. It's like just recently, some of the real story on Che Guevara is coming out. All these people that have them as a hero and stuff, they don't know shit.
No.
And just recently, it's like stuff is making yardage.
Yeah.
Talking about that rat passage. All right.
So we're going to kick it around the room real quick, like give everybody about 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes or maybe a little less, and we'll wrap things up for this evening. So, Granny, as always, we are going to start with you, young lady. What kind of parting shots do you have?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and everybody be kind to each other, you know, love each other and just, you know, help a friend out, you know. I mean, you know, I just real quick, we had a Wrestling for a Cause show in Tulsa over the weekend, and one of the WFC tag team title belts, we got new tag team champions, and the one guy over in the Glenpool, Oklahoma area had his vehicle broken into and his bag stolen. And
damn.
Whoever took the bag, it had one title belt in that this guy had had for 20 plus years that had lost sentimental value. But the other one was a WFC tag team title belt. Somebody stole that guy's bag, and they don't know who took it or why. Or so they're on the lookout for that one tag team belt. And those belts aren't cheap. To make those belts, they're not cheap. And, you know, Wrestling for a Cause is a charity organization. They do wrestling shows for kids fighting childhood cancer, and, you know, then some lowlife has to steal a tag team title belt, you know. So pretty sad.
And how are you going to turn those over, knowing every damn buddy's out there looking for the damn thing? You know what
well,
I mean? I guess the only
and
thing
from
you can
what, and from
for.
What I and from what I understand, all the pawn shops in the Tulsa and surrounding areas have been notified. You know that if anybody sees
well,
this
yeah,
belt or
it's not a drill. You're the pawn shops. That's not something you see 20. You can see 20 drills, but you're not going to see 20 title belts.
No.
You're right. Wow.
So I don't know. I don't even know the reason why it was taken, but, you know, it's pretty sad, you know, so.
Yeah, that's low. There are some things that are just unexcusable, inexcusable, whatever in the hell word goes applies to it. But that's one of them. That's bullshit because you can't benefit from it. It isn't like you can go out and sell it and turn it over. I mean, you obviously can't sell the shit because somebody's going to see it. It's just so unnecessary. Put that kind of effort into getting a job. Nevertheless, granted, great to have you back this evening. Good to have you here.
I've missed everybody, so.
No, we missed you just the same. Absolutely. Now, Tim, I'm going to kick it your way, young man. What kind of parting shot do you have?
Well, I don't have much to say. Get your pets spayed and neutered. It's been fun broadcasting from up here on the tower. Had a wonderful show. I was going to throw out, I don't know if you heard me try to pitch it in there with the rest of the homework assignments, but I'm thinking Robin Hood, depending on which story you like, whatever your flavor is. I think he still is a little bit of a thief. Doesn't matter who he's stealing from. A thief is a thief. So you got to put that one out there. Other than that, everybody have a great week. Keep rocking and rolling out there. Summer's still going on. Love every second of it. Love the family. All right, back over to you guys.
Right on, man. Appreciate you joining us, and congratulations on the household accomplishments. Right, job well done. I'm doing all I can to wash clothes these days in my house, but well done. Todd, talk to me.
Keep it short. Roland and Kurt, thanks for entertaining us Saturday. And team, take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Big hugs. Dave, all yours.
Outstanding. Appreciate you joining me tonight, brother, as always. Good to have you aboard. Now, real quick, like for me, if you haven't heard yet, Jacksonville Con has been canceled for this weekend. So we are going to mark that off your calendar. Go to the aquarium, go to the beach, stay home, put together a puzzle, or maybe perhaps watch 7 or 8 hours solid of Tom and Jerry with you and your loved ones because it's good times. But real quick, like some quick prayers going out to our comrades, Strode, Dr. John, and Velvet, currently
absolutely
dealing with some health woes, and we need to keep them around. So the power of prayer works. Don't care what nobody says. It does work. Keep those guys close to your heart. They can use, you know, we don't have the ability to do any type of medical procedures and or prescription dealing or anything like that. But if there's one thing we can do is pray our asses off and send nothing but good thoughts their way. So you gentlemen heal up, and hopefully we'll be seeing you back on a rebound here pretty soon. So, excuse me. That was a hard drag, my God. About ready to transition over to a pipe from a cigar. Damn, cigar market's getting a little too expensive. That'll be a different show. I'll discuss that. But let me go on in here. Q and the British lady will retire the crickets and the frogs y'all been serenaded by all night out here.
I'm surprised you didn't transition to a poll.
It's still a possibility. The way things have been going.
janky back door. $20
Just saying.
You got to do what you got to do. And all you got to do is put the Ziploc bag in the garbage. Easy cleanup. Oh, all right, Spectrum. Let's see if you got me some internet. Computer.
Where's that compound, British lady?
I don't know, man. Got no life on my computer. That's no bueno. Oh, there we go. All right. We're back on track. All right, so let's see. Why am I getting a hamster wheel? All right, come on, British lady. Ooh, oh.
I like it.
Okay, guys. Looks like a manual send off. Laptop's acting a fool. Anyhow, please don't crash laptop.
On the count of five, everybody just click your terminate call button.
Yeah, no kidding. Five. Looks like the laptop's coming back up. All is good. So,
okay.
With all that, yeah, I had a moment of damn puckerage when my damn laptop wouldn't respond. Nevertheless, it is back, just rebooting. So, with all that, we're going to do the manual shutoff. Everybody take care, and thank you for joining us here at Pop Culture Stars tonight. Y'all be safe. We will talk to you next Wednesday. Providing
be safe, all. Be good.
Right on.
Now for now.
Y'all have a good night now. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, Rich Lady.